Hi, Andrew. Welcome to our project spotlight on members.
Well, thank you for asking me. I'm looking forward to speaking to you.
Yeah, likewise. Learn a little more about how you came to the path of the Dharma and Met Rinpoche and all that. So let's start there. So how did you come to the path of the Buddha Dharma?
That's a good question. I worked for Citibank for almost 20 years, and I was relatively successful. And towards the end of my time there, I had gone from 50, 60-hour weeks to 70-hour weeks to 80-hour weeks. I went, okay, that's it. I mean, I was only in my 40s at that point, but I was, I mean, not so much burned out, but it's, you know, I'm not going to keep this going because I want some other higher job. So I unwound things. I had quite a few people working for me. And I had a pretty consistent interest in philosophy, though I never formally studied it. And I had a friend who was a member of the Vajradhatu Center in New York City. I was living in New York City at the time. And she was my entryway in. I found the actual sitting practice something that I took to fairly easily. Of all the books to come across, I came across Robert Thurman's book on Tsongkhapa about Madhyamaka. and his commentary, because that's pretty much what he was. I mean, you know, he would do like other teachers do, other scholars do, right? He would have a quote and he would explicate it. He was using a very famous 20th century philosopher, Ludwig Wittgenstein, who I had studied quite a bit. So I got hooked. So sitting practice and study, you know, became intertwined fairly quickly.
Roughly, when was that? What year was that? You kind of started that, you know, connected to meditation.
1994. Late 1994. Yeah.
And this is in New York, is that what you said?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's quite an introduction to Buddhism, Robert Thurman on Madhyamaka.
Yeah. But I was fortunate in that it was Thurman, and that Thurman had thoroughly studied, I mean, like even more than I had, you know, this particular 20th century Austro-British philosopher. So analytical, very analytical.
Mm-hmm. Like so, did you become a member? Did you become a member of Vajradhatu, or?
I did informally, in that I came across Trungpa Rinpoche, his books. I mean, not him personally. That took some time. Being me, of course, going in. Diving in deep and quickly is something that I do. And I found out that Trungpa Rinpoche was, and probably not still is, the abbot at Gompo Abbey. So I wanted to go about Gompo Abbey. I had no idea about Ani Pema. Mm-hmm. Zero. Little did I know is that Ani was there. So was I actually a member? I would say I became one by osmosis. How's that?
Yeah. So through a connection like that. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. So, so kind of launching off from there, how did you meet Pompa Boucher and connect with him?
I was there barely 2 months and he came because it was the first Natarta. Hmm. I couldn't attend it because there were prerequisites, you know, you needed at a minimum to have started the Karmakagyu Nandra. But I met him a number of times, and we formed a pretty good connection. When the second one started, I got even closer to him.
So you met him a couple of times while you were at Gompo Abbey, and he was up there teaching with Natartha then.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what were you doing at Gampo Abbey? Were you doing a meditation retreat or working?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah. I mean, it was interesting. Like I said, I hadn't been there for more than a couple months. And I met Rinpoche in one of the last talks we had, maybe the last talk we had before he left at the end of Ngatarta. He said, use the progressive stages of meditation, you know, as part of your practice. So, of course, there was a copy at the Abbey, and it became the Bible for about 6 months. I worked my way all the way through it. I spent a month.
This is Gampo Rinpoche's.
Yes. Yes. And I spent a month. I had the great good fortune of being able to spend an hour or two every day for a month working through the various schools that he was explicating. So I was lucky.
As a meditation practice, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very cool. At Gampo Abbey, yeah. So had you kind of quit your job and
Yes, I mean, yeah, I mean, they were very nice. They wanted to, you know, to hang on to me. They offered a real plum assignment, but I went, no, thank you. Right, I said, you know, that's it. I didn't want to go and live in Manila.
Yeah, well, that's quite a transition from being kind of in the high-powered finance New York City to being almost a monk at New York. Gampo Abbey up in Halifax. So how long were you at Gampo Abbey then? A few months or I'm sorry?
No, I was there for somewhat more than a year, just so as I can clarify things. As I wasn't a Canadian citizen, you have to leave Canada every, it was about every 6 months, but you only needed to be gone for 2 weeks. You know, so I would go back, I'd visit friends in New York. It was, you know, fairly straightforward getting there, you know, from Halifax. It's not a big deal. And then I would go back to the Abbey and, I don't want to give the impression, you know, that I was there for, you know, for more than a year and I, you know, all of this stuff occurred on a continuous basis. The answer is no.
Yeah, yeah. So after Gampo Abbey, where did you go?
Boulder.
Did you come to Colorado?
Yeah. I had met Cindy. She came to the second Ngatarta with DPR. It was also the first time I met Tenom. Tenom was a Rinpoche's new attendant. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Cindy Shelton and
yes.
Tenom. Uh-huh. And Tenom. And Cindy was in Boulder at that time?
Yes. Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that would have been what, roughly
1998.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And at that time, Paulin Prepuchet was here teaching at Naropa, right?
Yes. He would be coming. Of course, what was he teaching but Madhyamaka? So I'm thoroughly dipped in Madhyamaka because he did it from any of a number of teachers. I mean, he used Lama Nipam quite a bit. But during the second Ngatarta, you know, there was Lorik. I mean, you know, a lot of that's somewhat similar to when you go to Ngatarta these days. I think it's called Mind in Its World. I'm not
Mind's
sure anymore.
World, yeah. So does that mean did you go to Ngatarta then? Did you attend an Ngatarta summer teaching?
Yes. The second one, I got a dispensation and I was able to go to the second one. I don't know what it is with me, Madhyamaka, Rinpoche was teaching from Chandrakirti's commentary about Nagarjuna. Boy, I'm sounding like I actually know what I'm talking about here. Nagarjuna is the fundamental wisdom of the middle way. Uh-huh. And of course, what was he teaching? He was teaching the sixth chapter, which is the heavy duty Madhyamaka one, right? That was pretty much the only study I had done in Buddhism at that point. I was a quasi-Yamaka scholar.
So maybe it was good you had some of that background in philosophy, because a lot of Madhyamaka is working with reasonings and logic and things like that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm also a mathematician, so I'm used to very analytical.
So there was a nice connection there in terms of working with the Dharma through that kind of background, huh? And very interesting. Yeah, so kind of coming, so we went to the Tarthan and kind of coming, let's go back to Boulder, being here. So at that time, there was a small community kind of forming around Rinpoche?
Yes. Right? Yeah, I'm not quite sure if it was as many as 20, but it was more than 10. I'm limiting it to 20 because it happened at Robert and Cindy's house, and I knew where the Sangha was meeting in those days. It was their living room, and 20 would be max.
So did you feel like, were you a part of the community then in those early days?
Oh, yes, yes. I mean, what Rinpoche did somewhere middle, the end of that second Natarta, he gave me the Nundra transmission. So I started doing Nundra there. Robert and Cindy were kind enough to put me into the little cottage that was in their backyard, and I just did Nundra in there.
Wow. So it was great. Practitioner, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. That's really cool. I didn't know that. Yeah, you had that opportunity, you know, to kind of do these really intensive practices.
Like, yeah. Jump into it.
A little bit unusual, because most of us, you know, have to take our time between jobs and family responsibilities. So it is kind of unusual these days to find, you know, someone like yourself who was able to actually dedicate some really intense time to doing these practices and teachings. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. So say a little bit more about being in the Lhanda Bodhi and being a student of Rinpoche. That takes us up maybe into the late 90s. And so take us a little further along what you've been doing in the Lhanda Bodhi and with Rinpoche.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that I started going to the teachings in Naropa. Oh my God, all these memories are coming back. I was also his attendant while he was at Naropa. I worked in the household. You know, I did all of this stuff. I began to know him personally, which was very nice. But then again, he's the guru, the Vajrayana master. So there was some interesting displays, shall we say. Related to with such things, but like I said, he and I took to each other very, very quickly. Outside of that, I was working at Office Depot, obviously a very easy, low-level job. So I arranged it so that my mornings were free, so I was able to practice a few hours. I was dedicated. When Cindy and Robert left, Yurka and I became the study co-coordinators for Boulder. And that went on until 2005 for me. Yurka went on after that. That was quite interesting. It was the beginning of the study curriculum. Yurka and I and Robert from Seattle were cutting and pasting the text together, first for the Hinayana material, which was basically a transcript that we edited like this, it seemed, you know. I'm like, it was online, of course, you know, but we say, oh yeah, this one, this makes sense, let's put this one over here. I mean, like, it was, you know, it was a wonderful thing to do. I'll just end it at that point, though it makes me smile in terms of putting the text together. So
well, I appreciate that, you know, because actually, I came to the Lhanda Bodhi roughly about 2004, 2005, the time that you and Yurka were doing that. Mm-hmm. And one of my first connections was taking a course, a Mahayana course with Yurka. Mm-hmm. And it was just wonderful, you know, because I'd come out of the Vajradhatu and we'd done a lot of study there, you know. But it was a very different kind of study, much more traditional, precise kinds of things that I really appreciated. And then I think shortly after that, I took a course with you, probably in around 2006 or so. And that was another one of the Mahayana classes with about 10 people. Mm-hmm. I'll say those early days of taking study courses was a nice way to make a connection with members and start to have a little cohort as you kind of went on and on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was an early connection with you, Andrew, that I had with those
studies. That's good. Yeah, I remember that.
So how many, I'm curious about Natartha, you know. Yeah, good. Yeah. I really took to it and still do. Including going to Tartha a lot too. So, did you continue with going to the summer institutes from Tartha?
No. My significant other is a student of Zigo Khantra Rinpoche, his version of our Sangha retreat has for a very long time, 15. Probably more years, maybe 20. The start of it coincides with the start of Natartha. And it goes on for 10 days, so it was very hard to go to Natartha because Mary's and my agreement was she was going to take care of the house while I was in Seattle. And I took care of the house while she was up in the mountains and Ward being taught by Rinpoche. So,
yeah.
No, didn't go back.
Yeah, so you were going to the Sangha retreat at that time, up in Seattle?
Yes. Yeah, I've pretty much been to all of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that leads us to another question, too, about, you know, what is your favorite teaching or teachings, you know? And the way we're kind of asking this, you know, is that teaching that kind of acts as a North Star, you know, that you really connect with strongly and kind of come back to in terms of your life. Mm-hmm. And it's hard sometimes to pick one teaching, you know. So I picked a couple of them.
Yeah, I don't have one. In that, I think as I've become more of a practitioner than a scholar, when it comes to Tibetan Buddhism, the texts that I read tend to be the text for the practice that I'm doing. And then, of course, there's notes and commentary that I have. So I study those, of course, prior. It's very helpful if you do that. And then as I'm doing the practice, if I need to go back to my notes, or I'm wondering if I'm actually doing the practice right, if I've drifted away, then I actually go back and actually read the text itself again. But that's pretty much it. And, you know, I don't really, I mean, you know, God knows how many Dharma books Mary and I have. We have a lot of them. But actually going back and reading them, only when we go on retreat, we always take books with us to study. But outside of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, another way to kind of think about this too, you know, is during... is to ask you how you're doing during this time of the pandemic and you know how the teachings are kind of helping you through this time of the pandemic.
Yeah. Well, let me start with the last one, you know, which is I hadn't been practicing for very long, and I somebody either told me or I came across a statement by His Holiness the Dalai Lama. And His Holiness said, if you've noticed after 10 years of, you know, of practicing the Dharma that you've become kinder, that's a good thing, right? After almost 30 years of doing this, I've definitely gotten softer and a lot more expansive. So dealing with the pandemic from a Tibetan Buddhist standpoint, I, you know, it's hard, but I don't, I'm not oscillating. You know, I'm simply sitting with it, you know, more than anything else, you know, which gives me a perspective, you know, which is helpful.
So what do you mean by oscillating? You mean kind of going up and down in terms of how things are unfolding around us? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there's the closer in community. You know, Mary has a daughter and her own family. who lives not very far away from us. I'm going to move and go like that. Right, it's a 5-minute drive. And the reaction of that household is much tighter. I mean, they're very concerned, and, you know, in that fact, we didn't see them for 3 months for that reason. Could someone have taken that personally or said, oh, you're much too tired or things of that sort? No, I mean, you know, just be expansive about this, you know, just, you know, like, you know, sit in this world that's actually quite vast. I mean, you know, why else would it be called the Dharma Dhatu? You know? So, yeah, I mean, you know, there were things closed, you know, there's, you know, everything that's been happening in the state, in the country. So, yeah, just...
Mm-hmm. Just that. So the practice is certainly giving you some good perspective and yep. ability to kind of deal with that.
Yep. Yep.
Again, what's going on there? Yeah. And I like what you said too. It's kind of funny after 30 years being kinder and more expansive. But I think, you know, that echoes some other people's experience too. You know, the Buddha and Dharma sometimes can be, you can have kind of an abrupt realization in some sense, but it really does take some time to kind of really work with.
Deeper into our being.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I was old enough, you know, that being, yeah, because like I was about 50. Being told it takes 10 years, it's like, oh, 10 years. I mean, if I was 25 and I heard that, I'm not quite sure I would have been as equitable. But anyway.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, for sure.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, very good, Andrew. You know, we're keeping these to about 20 minutes or so. So I really appreciate the time we had together today.
Thank you.
And maybe there'll be another opportunity to come back and learn a little bit more about some other aspect of your journey with Lalanda Bodhi and Rinpoche, too.
It'll be a pleasure.
On the board of Karma Sangha and had some, you know, ongoing responsibilities and connections, too. But let's save that for another time, I think. How's that?
Yeah. Just come by, knock on the door, and we can talk.
All right. Very good. Well, thank you, Andrew. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.